Abraham is our father in many senses. He's seen as the father of the Jewish people, the spiritual father of Judaism and monotheistic faiths more broadly, and the father of the covenant with the one God. Yet in our parasha, Abraham is introduced first and foremost as a son, a descendant who must decide whether to be traditional or innovative, whether to follow in the path of his forebears or become a revolutionary. Many midrashim portray Abraham as a revolutionary figure. They depict him as one who breaks the vessels, so to speak, both literally and figuratively, both in practice and symbolically, in his relationship with the world in which he was raised. The parasha opens with the call, "Lech lecha, go forth from your land, from your birthplace, and from your father's house," a call answered in the positive. In Bereshit Rabbah, for example, we encounter a foundational narrative that becomes a central anchor for later Midrashim as well. This narrative describes Abraham's rupture, rebellion, and even scorn in his relationship with his father and with his surroundings. The Midrash opens and says, Terach, Abraham's father, was a maker of idols. One day he went out somewhere and left Abraham to sell in his place. The Midrash tells us that Terach, Abraham's father, was an idol maker. For some reason, Terach had to go somewhere, so he left Abraham in charge of the shop. In the context of our discussion, focused on intergenerational transitions in general and the transmission of culture and tradition in particular, there is something poignant about the image of a father seating his son in his place. Terach wants his son to follow in his path, to continue his ways. He has built something, a shop in this case, and hopes, as the language of the Midrash suggests, that his son will carry on in his stead. The Midrash continues with the famous telling of Abraham's rejection of his father's trade and accompanying philosophy, trying to expose how absurd the worship of idol really is. For example, Abraham breaks all but one of the statues and leaves the club in the hand of the last one standing. When his father returns, furious, Abraham tells him that the idols were at fault. Abraham attempts to break not only his father's idols, but also his faith. Here we encounter Abraham the revolutionary, the one who creates a break between himself and the tradition of his fathers. He deviates from his father's path through a decisive rupture. In the Midrash, his father's beliefs are portrayed as foolish, as a legacy to be rejected. In this reading, Abraham's task is to turn his back completely, totally and uncompromisingly in favor of a sweeping revolution. Go forth from your father's house in the fullest, most absolute sense. While the Midrashic story of the idol breaking is well known, a re-examination of the biblical text depicts a different kind of behavior and a much less dichotomous relationship between father and son. I propose two readings, two interpretations that present different ways of understanding Abraham's path in relation to his father and tradition. A close reading of the verses reveals a different narrative, not one of breaking away, but of imitation. According to the text, Abraham walks in his father's footsteps. He too sets out with his family towards the land of Canaan. Terach took his son Abraham, and Abraham took his wife Sarai. They both set out for the land of Canaan. Abraham's departure is in fact a continuation of the journey that Terach had begun. Both father and son take with them their family, their close and extended kin, and both set out on the road towards the land of Canaan. The parallel movement of father and son and the similar choices they make are strikingly emphasized in the language of the verses. Sometimes rebellion takes the form of imitation. Perhaps this is how we should understand the text before us. descendants simultaneously express separation and belonging. They seek to assert individuality and connection at the same time, and they often do so through imitation. Avraham may well be rejecting his father's influence and asserting his own unique voice, but he does so precisely by adopting Terach's model and revising it from within. What is fascinating about Avraham's imitation is that it generates innovation. Avraham introduces something new in several ways. One being that unlike his father, he actually reaches Canaan. This difference carries profound consequences. The Torah does not describe Avraham as being in conflict with his father. On the contrary, he leaves Ur of Kasdim with his father and later sets out again in his footsteps in a manner that echoes his father's earlier departure. Yet Avraham is not a mere replica of Terach. He does not settle in Haran, but continues until he arrives in the land of Canaan. Another way to understand Avraham's movement is as an act of completion, bringing to fulfillment what his father began, though this act of completion also constitutes the very essence of the difference between them. Terach embarks on a journey he begins but does not finish. The order of events in the verses is described as follows. According to the narrative sequence, not only does Terach fail to complete what he set out to do, but he is no longer able to complete it because he has died. His journey ends unfinished. This allows Avraham to complete the process that his father began. In the shadow of his father's death, there's no way for Avraham to simply do exactly what his father did. No way for him to be a mere imitation. By definition, the son must act differently from the father. And it is not just the ending of the journey that is different. The points of departure for the father's and the son's journeys are described in the verses as distinct as well. The Torah does not state Terach's motive for leaving, but it does state Avraham's motive, and it does so using language of the relationship between father and son. The Lord said to Avraham, "Go forth from the land, from your birthplace, and from your father's house." God's command to Avraham is a command to leave from, and one of the things Avraham is told to leave behind is his father. Thus, even though Avraham's actions resemble those of his father, and even though he is in some sense merely completing the movement that his father initiated, something must be different about the orientation of this journey, and that is fundamental. Paying attention to this sequence of events raises interpretive, psychological, and theological questions. Did Terach also set out because God told him to? Or is it one of the essential differences between Avraham and his father, precisely that there was no divine call to Terach? Was it his father's death that allowed Avraham to hear God's call? Was it his father's death, his father who had already modeled leaving one's father's house, a kind of bequest, a charge to Avraham to complete his father's journey? Or does his death serve as a kind of summons to Avraham to go forth to distance himself from his land, his birthplace, and the house of his now deceased father? Attentiveness to these verses invites a reconsideration of the Midrashic line of Bereshit Rabbah and suggests seeing Avraham not necessarily as a rebel or revolutionary, but as an innovator from within relationship and tradition. Perhaps his actions grow out of resemblance to his father, yet their outcome is unique, or perhaps his point of departure is essentially different. In either case, Avraham's movement is organic and rooted in continuity and tradition, even as it unfolds in departure from his father's house. Indeed, like his father, Avraham is a man of faith, one who leaves his land and is accompanied by his family. He continues and renews while remaining in conversation with those who came before him, sometimes receiving, sometimes rejecting, at once continuing, turning, completing, and transforming. Before us stands Avraham, our father, who renews traditionally and invites us to recognize that revolution and continuity, innovation and tradition are interwoven far more deeply than we often assume, and to understand ourselves as acting in greater harmony and less dichotomy. Shabbat Shalom.